Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
What would you do if the ocean vanished, only to come rushing back towards you as a 30-foot wall of water? In this season of Against the Odds, relive four extraordinary stories of survival during the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, the deadliest on record. Listen to Against the Odds on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm so good, guys. It is Thanksgiving week here in the United States, so we're just getting ready for, just a weekend. It's really not that long of a weekend, but a semi-long weekend, so we're excited about that. It's Real Housewives of Potomac Day. It's also Amazon Live Day. Jeez. 4 p.m. We'll be on Amazon Live, okay? 4 p.m. Yeah. Pacific time. Find our link in bio over at our Instagram. It's going to be so fun. We're going to talk about holiday cookies, holiday cooking, and house lighting, home lighting in my house.
I'm going to give some recommendations on some of the tools that I use for Thanksgiving cooking. So listen in.
What do you think about that? And then this week, our schedule is pretty similar to normal. We have our final Dwell Hello this week on Wondery Plus. That will be the final, maybe of the season, maybe ever. We don't know. But we're going to be doing that
hiatus
later this week. We've also got a bonus episode this week, maybe a trailer trash of something coming up. Haven't decided. And we will be skipping Southern Charm this week. That's the only recap we're skipping because I'm not doing a recap on Thanksgiving, okay?
Yep.
That is not how people want to celebrate turkey, okay? Those turkeys have already basted themselves, but we will talk about it the following week. Otherwise, our schedule is the same. So how was your weekend, Ben?
Weekend was great. I went to Dallas, Texas, as many of you know, because I recorded the Orange County reunion from Dallas, where I went to a board game convention. And I think, as I mentioned on Friday, a very different scene from BravoCon in virtually any way you could ever imagine. But I had fun. It was fun stepping into nerddom. And now I am back and I'm ready to step into Bravo and also Thanksgiving madness. I'm going to, when we're done recording today, I'm going to hop on my laptop and I'm trying to get this out as quickly as possible. I'm trying to get out another NBD fancy newsletter that's going to be, I'm calling it, quote unquote, low lift Thanksgiving, like things you can make that are pretty simple, but will look pretty cool for Thanksgiving. I don't know if I'll be able to succeed on that front. You know, it's like how low lift can like stuffing be, but I'm going to try. So keep an eye out for that. But that being said,
it's been wonderful.
It's a low lift Thanksgiving. But I did love emerging from nerddom and coming back into Bravo via the great ambassador that is Real Housewives of Potomac, because this episode cracked me up. Oh my God, especially the quarrel at the end. Cookie
came in and really cookied it up. I mean, wow. Cookie. Jeez.
I love the controversy around Cookie, like, is she a reliable narrator or not? Like, should we believe Cookie?
We find out that Cookie has been the Wizard of Oz, you know, like the hand moving a lot of the show. At least that's kind of what has been insinuated. Cookie and then good. We see Cookie and they're holding Cookie for good. Wicked Cookie for good. They're holding Cookie back. Cookie's, you know, waving those nails at people like, oh, you want a piece of me? And yeah, they're holding Cookie back. And damn, it's Cookie. Who knew?
I know. And it's so funny because in the beginning, very beginning of the episode, as we're about to get to, you know, when Kiana tries to start some beef between Monique and Stacey, and Monique's like, well, I don't care. Chris can date whoever he wants. I was like, oh, wow. Wow. Bravo really... they really lost out on this storyline. Like they tried to make it a thing and then it just fell flat on its face. Little did we realize it would have a rebirth through Cookie. So I'm incredibly excited to see where this goes.
My gosh. I don't know if there's any color purple fans out there, but Sophia is what I'm getting from Cookie. Like if they did a production of that and they cast Cookie as the Oprah Winfrey role, I would die. It would be sold out. You know, I just fucking loved Cookie. I want to see Cookie in everything now. I want Cookie on every show. I need Cookie's messy ass on every show. And of course, she's like besties with Karen. You know, Karen's is like bestie with the biggest troublemaker on the cast. When they said the first time I met Cookie. Okay, let's just go through the episode because there's so much. Okay, so we are still at Ashley's Pride Parade. You know, it's so nice to have a show this week after Orange County that actually starts at Pride Parade, you know? I think we all as a country deserved this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We sunset last week on Gretchen's homophobia, and then the sun rises on Ashley's Ash T.O.P. persona.
Ash Top.
Ashtop, which I, Ashtop, good for her. So Kiara is trying to be messy. Kiara's doing whatever she can this season. She's working on overdrive and she's trying to target Stacey. Little does she realize that Stacey has become the people's hero despite her slippery nature with the truth. And so Kiara's like, so Monique, like, Chris Samuels, your ex-husband, right? And Monique's like, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, because like Stacey, you were dating. She was dating Chris, just so you know. And again, as we've mentioned about 45 times, it doesn't matter. Stacey was not friends with Monique. So like there's nothing inherently messy about this situation.
Yeah. And Stacey's like, wow, Kay, wow. And Wendy's like, yeah, wow. And Stacey goes, oh, my God, she just met her. And so Stacey's like, oh, my God, stop. I know socially. Calm down, ladies. Calm down. Talk about inappropriateness. Talk about length. Talk about girth.
Talk about drama. Chris Samuels is like, talk about a turkey. Give one to me. talk about a fee, talk about a fire, talk about a foe, talk about a thumb,
talk about a golden goose that's missing.
Talk so about Monique's, Jack.
Monique's like, yeah, we've been divorced 2 years, so I would expect that he would date. Kieran's like, oh, so you don't mind? Okay, well, I guess I didn't know then. And Wendy's like, yeah, nice try. I was messy. And Kieran is like, I don't care what Stacey says. She likes people to think she's not that girl, but I know she's that girl. Isn't it good if you're that girl? Isn't that a good thing? Like when people she's that girl. Isn't that a compliment?
It depends. Cause if you're like that girl who looks out at the highway every day from her condo, that might not be good for some people. For some people, maybe it is cool. I don't know.
So yeah, but like case, when people
that,
say Kieran
would be that girl.
Yeah, like if people say, like, let's just say somebody had once said, I'm not saying they did, but let's say somebody said, oh, I'm Ronnie, that you're that bitch. That I always thought that was a compliment. But now I'm starting to rethink my friendship with somebody said, hey, wow, you're that bitch. I thought it was nice. But now Kieran is making me think it's not nice.
Well, I think that that is context specific. Because you know, like you want to be that bitch. Hey, girlfriend, I'm that bitch.
I'm that bitch.
I'm like, oh, well, but first coffee. But then, I guess if you could contextually be like, I'm not that girl. You know, it's like a different. I think it's just whatever that is. Kiara's like, Stacey is not that. She's not it. She's that.
So Monique's like, well, he's my ex for a reason. I didn't want him anymore. So I don't care what he does with his life. As long as she's good with the children.
Which I'm just so happy to be back. She is so happy to be back. She is like having the best time. She's smiling. She does seem lighter and she seems a bit more, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but she's just like, oh, whatever. She seems actually like a normal person, not a real housewife. So she's like not being.
That is weird. She is more normal person now. Yeah. Isn't she wearing like a tank top or something? Like she's like more chill and normal. But you know what? She was never I think just her history on the show and the way that she left the show, there was like such a dark cloud about that whole thing, a dark cloud over it. But she was always really chill and fun until she was, until she wasn't, like until she was activated, until you put an umbrella in her hand, you know?
But the thing is that like she was also, she was a little bit presentational because she was always pushing her essential oils and stuff like that. And now she's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just hanging out. So Tia is talking and she's like, oh, you guys talk about my bottom. My gosh, Miss Giselle. And Giselle's like, oh, I love it. It wasn't always there. And they're just like joking and bantering about that booty and stuff like that. And touching it. And, you know, they're having fun time at the gay bar, etc. And then.
And so Stacey's turned on by Ash Chop. She's like, wow, there's something that's just appealing about you. And now she's like, okay. Well, I'm going to clear something up, Stacey. So listen, I'm really happy for you to do your business, but I was a little caught off guard with your cannabis launch because, you know, the name being Yoruba, the name being in Yoruba, that felt a little weird to me as someone who's friends with Nigerians. So I'd like to speak up.
As someone who likes to start shrine fights amongst Nigerians, I was just like a little offended about your name being in Yoruba.
So Giselle,
I'm
like,
still offended that you sold kangaroo meat, Ashtop. So
I'm offended that you're dressed like Kid Rock right now, Ashtop. Personally,
I'm offended that you're pretending to be a drag queen when you're still like hot girling it up. She's like, I'm a hot girl, but I also have a mustache. That's not drag kinging. Come on, Ash Top.
So Stacey says that the name of her her company is Shio. And she was like, what is that? And when he's like, she named it a Nigerian name. And she sounds like, are you Nigerian? And she goes, well, I have Nigerian heritage. I sometimes receive an email from a Nigerian prince, so I think that qualifies.
I found out that in Nigeria, there's only one person left with my last name. And if I just give them my bank account number, I'm going to inherit $50 million.
Well, I took a DNA test, actual DNA. And I've spoken about this with all of you.
I love that she took a fucking DNA test. This is so Kelly from Real Housewives of Orange County. Oh, I can say whatever I want. I'm black. And they're like, what? How are you going to say you're black? She's like, I took a 23andMe. I'm 3% black.
Well, and it's like, there's a perfectly fine chance that Stacey has like a significantly higher percentage of black of like Nigerian in her than Kelly Dodd has blackness. But that being said, they all are very much giving her the side eye because at one point coming up, someone says, you know, there's a difference between ancestry versus, you know, basically immediate family. But Stacey's like, whatever, I'm going to go with it. Shio it is.
Well, it was so funny because Wendy's like, well, as your friend, if you're going to name it a Yoruba name, pronounce it correctly because you're not pronouncing it correctly. And Giselle starts cracking up. And Tia's like, it's Shio. And Stacey goes, oh, thank you for that. I love my Nigerian sisters correcting me. Thank you so much.
We can't claim Stacey. Stacey has paid for a boyfriend in Nigeria. The boyfriends pay us. We don't do that nonsense.
Well, that's another instance of her not being genuine. And Angel's like, yeah, it is giving money grab a little bit. Is Nigerian weed like flying off the shelves? How is it a money grab? That's the part I don't get. Are people like, oh my God, that's a Nigerian name. I'm getting that. That is the best weed.
Yeah, it's not like Happy. I guess Happy Eddie before the scandal was doing nicely, but it's not like this was taking over American pop culture. So I don't look at Shio or Shior and say, wow, what a Happy Eddie ripoff. Like, it's just not. I don't know. But also with Angel, I'm just constantly rolling my eyes because we're entering into week 35 of her complaining about the comments about her face. That she altered herself on.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. She won't shut up about that. It's so hilarious. And then everything she says, okay, she's like, it's giving money grab. I don't understand that part. And then she goes, and Stacey, what about the social justice component of your business? Excuse me, can I just sell some weed? Why do I have to sell weed for children with cancer? Like, can I just sell the weed? The social justice component is I make you feel better after a shitty day in this shitty world. How about that?
Well, what was funny is that she goes, and what about the social justice component of your business? Is there one? Because, and Sage just cuts her off and goes, anyway, I just want to say, everyone, thank you for coming. I just like, they just are like, I am not talking about some social justice. I'm just selling weed. I'm trying to cash in on my window that I'm here. Okay.
I'm trying to leave a legacy for Arabella.
Arabella. Angel's like, by the way, at the board game convention, there was a game called Arabella. And I internally shouted it out in my head. And so Angel's
are you
like,
just
okay,
trying to get your
rude.
Game piece to stand up straight and keep it sash, you know, keep it sash straight.
I did think it was weird that the board game went off and started swimming laps in front of me. I was like, Arabella, good for you.
Okay, guys, we can't let Arabella know that her parents are back together. Okay. Keep this secret till the end of the game.
That's kind of a fun game. The board game is that there is a child who doesn't realize her parents are divorcing and you have to keep up appearances. And if you can make it to the end without the child realizing, you've won the game. It's dark, but low-key, kind of good.
Yeah. For kids with divorced parents who might be fucking in a pantry somewhere.
There's so many people who are like going through divorces listening right now that are like, this is not funny what you guys are talking about. Like, why are you mocking our very serious
okay, your parents are going
right
through a divorce. Your game piece is the mom, your game piece is the dad. So you have to convince the child who's a better parent and who gets custody. It's like it just gets darker and darker. Okay,
there is actually something real. There is actually something really kind of funny. Like there is something
sounds like one of your games.
About like a board game where like you are vying. A lot of board games are like very political. It's like, I'm the USA, I'm Russia, and we're doing world domination. But what if the board game was really about divorced parents trying to win over their children with, you know, gifts and vacations and like, do you have to do the homework? Like there's something actually kind of like really hilarious about that. Darkly
we'll
hilarious.
We'll get to writing, Game Boy.
You guys, guess what? I'm signing off and I'm making a board game right now. It's called Arabella, Love Me.
Arabella and the Divorce.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Picture this. You're standing on the beach when you notice something strange. The horizon doesn't look right. At first, all you can see is a thin white line stretching as far as your eyes can see. Then the line starts to rise. But it's not the horizon at all. It's a wave, a 30-foot wall of water, and it's racing straight toward you. On the day after Christmas in 2004, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Indonesia, triggering a devastating tsunami. It struck Thailand without warning. No alarms, no cell phone alerts, no evacuation. In this season of Against the Odds, experience one of the deadliest natural disasters in history through the perspectives of those who did everything they could to survive. Follow Against the Odds on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Against the Odds, Tsunami in Thailand, early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
So Stacey just interrupts Angel and she's like, excuse me, don't be rude. Don't be rude. You're rude. You're saying that she has a money grab business and asking her if there's a social justice component, Angel. And Stacey's like, no, I'm done. And Angel's like, we'll revisit it. Don't you worry. Every episode until the end of the season, we will revisit this.
We'll revisit it. And when we do, you'll also finally get to know me. It's like, oh, great. Thanks, Angel.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to finally get to know you.
Yeah. Angel's board game. Catfish or real photo?
Angel's board game. You play for 3 hours, and then at the end, we'll finally get to know her. And then you actually don't get to know her at all. When you get to the end, the final round is Angel confronting you about the fact that you laughed while people were confronting her about her catfish photo.
I would like to look through her Uber reviews and like her one stars and just be like, he didn't try to get to know me. So we had a whole ride from the mall to my home. He knows not one thing about me.
I'm giving this restaurant 2 stars. While the food was actually quite good and the service was excellent, I felt like ultimately my waiter didn't really get to know me, but I'm looking forward to coming back so that way he can really get to know me.
And I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt you guys. Ma'am, may I take your order? I'm sorry, but you'll get to know me. You'll know when you know me. Okay.
Ma'am, there's a... tonight's specials is that we have a beautiful angel hair pasta with a fresh spring pea pesto with walnuts. And does that pasta, does it have a social justice component?
Yeah, then don't bring it over here. You'll get to know me. Don't worry.
Once you get to know me, you'll see that that's important to me.
So Angel's like, well, Stacy is totally dismissive of me. Okay, girl, if you don't care about classy, I'll care about being classy for us both. So just pointing out, like, being classy isn't really confronting somebody over their business at a pride party either. So,
well, I wonder.
I'm going to disagree with everything Angel says just because I'm officially annoyed at this point.
I'm going to give Angel one thing here, which is that I would not be surprised if there was some scene where Stacy had told Angel, I'm going to sell weed, but I also want to have a social justice component to it. And Angel is basically saying, like, so where's this whole social justice thing that you said was going to be there that you were going to profit off of? I would not be surprised if that was a larger context. I don't remember seeing a scene like that, and they definitely didn't. I don't think they've shown one. So if that is the case, they've definitely made Angel look like such a womp womp at this party. And she's probably like, I was just trying to call her out. So I'm going to say that I will keep a tab open on that for the reunion. And if she comes back and says that, then we'll be like, okay. I will give a little bit of vindication to Angel on that front. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's bored me too much for vindication. Like, just close the open tab. I don't even care about it. I'll give it to her.
Okay.
I'll give it to her. I'll resend all my comments. Okay. Just edit all that
out. We'll give it to her. Well, if it comes up, we'll give it to her. I guess it's not a tab. I'm putting a flag in there. I'm flagging this moment for the audience to be like,
I'm burning the flag.
That could happen. How dare you in front of Arabella?
So Tia's like, oh, so stressful. Who has a gummy now that I could have? And so now there's a float, okay? Because there's a GNA float, which is, you know, some leggings and some brain issues. I'm still not sure what this business is. So Wendy's sure like, yeah, and thank God for Wendy, because Wendy's like, yeah, I don't understand how this is the GNA float, okay? Because that started as a fashion brand. And so we see a flashback to GNA clothing. And then Wendy's saying, and then it turned us into us doing aerobics on the rooftop. So what exactly is GNA at this point? Is it a tax front? Is it a tax front? And how do I get on that?
I know, right? So Wendy's, yeah, she brings up very good questions, because we really, I think it was last week when we looked it up, there's not even a website for GNA. there's no entity. We don't understand what it is. So anyway, they get on this float, and the float is going, and Ash is like,
well, when I first came out, I told my grandma after church, I had a crush on this girl, and she didn't get mad, and then she embraced me with open arms, and then I didn't tell anyone.
And she basically tells her not very interesting story about having a crush on a girl when she was little, and then like circling back to it when she was 14, and then not talking about it ever on TV until suddenly, I should say she did talk about it a few years ago. So I was going to.
Well, yeah, she said that her and Michael had threesomes with women and stuff, and she's always liked women and stuff. Yeah. She's always been proudly bi, at least since she's been on this show. So Ashley is telling Kiana, hey, if you feel inspired to kiss me, you can. Just putting it out there.
And Ashley's like,
yeah, and then my grandma's like, who are you dating now? Who are you dating? And I'm like, grandma.
So they are dancing. They're having fun. The float is like shaking. There's like one shot of like the tire of the float being like, boom, 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 boom. And now they grab a bite to eat. So they all gather around, and there's like this big long table, and Giselle's like, well, I want to say, Monica, I didn't expect to see you. And Monique is like, yeah, I really wasn't sure what to expect, you know, because I haven't seen any of you guys in 5 years. It's so funny because they're acting like it's been 15 or 20 years since they've seen Monique. Like, oh my God, so much has changed. So your child's in business school now. Congratulations. Oh, and your daughter. Oh, I loved seeing, you know, her candidacy to be the, you know, Wyoming state comptroller. But like the kids are just 5 years older, but like
Wyoming state comptroller.
You know, to see one of your children replace Sherry Berry as the elevator leader in a state is really something else. It's been amazing.
I say this really because a friend of mine that I went to college with, her name is Brooke, and one of our dear listeners, RT, who lives in Maryland, where the show takes place, she informed me that my friend Brooke is now the Maryland state controller. And I'm like, how does that happen? That's weird. It's weird to think of like someone like my age that last time I thought of Brooke, it was like we're having like lunch in the student center or something like that. And now she's a state controller. So whenever we talk about the show, I think about Brooke because it's a Maryland show. And I think about Brooke being a state controller.
Comptroller. I love that job because it's very stressful. It's just like getting people free tickets to things.
Yeah. It's like, hey, do you have a ticket to the state fair, Brooke? She's like, oh yeah, I got it. I'm the comptroller. Also, by the way, thank you everyone for voting for Brooke. I had no idea she was running for anything, but I'm glad that people voted for her because Brooke she's a lovely gal. She really was great.
So Giselle's like, wow, Monique, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but you're so refreshing, your energy, your vibe. I didn't even have to bring a bodyguard today. And she's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Same to you, Giselle. You're still terrifying in terrible clothes. And there's something comforting about that. Good to see you.
Yes. Thank you. So Wendy's like, well, last time we saw you, your life was different, which is my way of saying, what happened? What's going on? What's the update with Quiz? What's going on? She goes, oh, you mean with my ex? It's like, no, Chris from The Bachelor. Of course your ex. So
Chris Christie, okay?
Chris Christie, what's going on?
Is he still upset over that bridge? I mean, what the hell? Who do you think I'm talking about? Yes, your husband. And she's like, because it looked like you had a good relationship. And she's like, oh, well, we had a good image. I don't know that you had a good image. And someone posted on Reddit the picture, the gif of her folding Chris's underwear. I totally forgot.
I love that.
When she just lifted his underwear and it was like she was making a poster for science fair. You know, it was huge.
it was enormous. So we see some of their life. And Wendy's like, whoa, damn, Monique. I mean, talk about having an image, you know, Wendy and Eddie. Allegedly. So Monique is like, yeah, and, you know, I wasn't being loved properly. And I wish somebody would have told me because, you know, whoever you marry, that person could actually get worse. Do you need someone to tell you that?
Did you? I think that that's
you,
just
have you seen
known.
Kramer versus Kramer?
Yeah. Does anybody say, wow, I married somebody and let me tell you, they get better every day? I've never heard it. Never heard it.
People get divorced not because one of them gets better. Actually, I should say that. That's actually sometimes that does happen. Well, sometimes someone does get better. But like, yeah, that's, you know, things get worse. So
I think the
like,
only way people get better after you marry them is if they had a cold on your wedding day. That's the only way.
Well, it's like what people say on wedding days. May this be the worst day of your life. So,
till death do you part. They wouldn't have to say that if it just got better, you know? I mean, the whole thing about vows is like, okay, look at this hottie next to you. They're going to be ugly soon. There's going to be hair coming out of their nose, out of their ears, out of their butt crack, and you still have to stay with them until you're both dead, okay? Mm. Are you going to do it? If you do it, we'll give you new silverware and, you know, people will chip in for your honeymoon. How about it, kids?
She says the first time that she thought she couldn't do it anymore was when her daughter was 6 months old. So it's been a while. I always think about the two of them having sex. Like, I literally cannot imagine being under him. I'd be like, press flat into the mattress. he's like a giant.
It's like the memory foam when you get up is just like two craters where his hands were, and then like your little body shape where you were just crushed down, you know?
It's like
a while for the memory to unmemory itself.
It's like the end of The Naked Gun when Ricardo Montalban falls off the stadium and then marching band walks all over him.
So she's like, well, I wasn't being loved properly. And, you know, they talk about her kids and how big they are. And she's like, I get emotional when I talk about my kids. I mean, Milani, she's so artsy. Chase, he's a bank now. I mean, God. He's done so much.
He's done so much.
They named like, a game after him.
Such an old soul.
One person runs and the other person runs after them. I mean, he's really done well. He's really done well.
Monique's like, you remember when we went to France? And she goes, you know, Giselle, you know, me and you, we've always been like bumping heads, but you said some real stuff to me then. And you were talking about how when you're with a man and that has had the limelight and then you start stepping into your own and things become about you and that can cause tension. Giselle's like, totally. Giselle doesn't remember saying that. She's like, oh, I will take credit for whatever I said back 6 or 7 years.
She's like, was that when I said I hated your 5 homes and your stupid fish tank in your kitchen? Or... I'll take the credit, though. Thank you.
Angel's like, guys, a wag is talking. Be quiet. A wag is talking. So Giselle's like,
baby wag, baby wag. Have the floor, baby wag. And Giselle's like, well, I remember all of it. Ah, her being embarrassed about the things that Chris would say to her publicly. Yeah. And she was always working overtime to make him appreciate her. And she knew one day that Monique would wake up and say, you know what? I don't want to live like this anymore.
Do you mind me asking, what was the straw that broke the camel's back in your marriage?
I'm like, I don't know if it was a straw. I think it was just like I think Chris getting on a camel would break the camel's back.
Yeah. Monique's like, actually, we went on vacation and Chris tried to ride a camel and broke his back. And I actually left him. I was so destroyed over that broken donkey.
Disclaimer, this is not fat shaming. This is just that Chris is an enormous
human. He's not fat. He's huge. It's not about that. He's a gigantic football player. Yeah, he's a wall of a man.
With the deepest voice we've ever heard on Bravo. I have to say, I love hearing his voice. No, his voice is so
soothing.
It's like
so
deep and velvety.
Yeah.
I'm getting on the camel.
I think that's why it takes so long to divorce someone like Chris, even when they're just being bossy and stuff. Like, why aren't you doing the chores? I'm like, say it again. Just say it again.
I know. I loved when he would talk.
The dulcet
tones. I loved
it
so much. He's like, Monique, is my underwear ready yet?
Yeah, he's just a big man. I remember when he was on, wasn't that like back when Trump was running or something years ago? And everyone was always saying, build the wall. We were like, just have Chris stand there. Save us all some tax money. You know, he's just such a big man. So she is talking about how, you know, when Chris wanted something, he was always very nice. But then once he got what he wanted, he would go back to being an asshole. And so she put the theory to the test. And he was being really nice to her. So she thought, okay, I'll give him some ass. And then the next day he rolled over and it was nothing. And she felt like a piece of meat once again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I don't doubt that happened, but there had to be. I don't take that as an excuse for getting married because everybody would get divorced if that was the case. Everybody's nice for a little ass. That's marriage, right?
Yeah, but he must have been.
He was a jerk to her.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Asshole. I think even if she just listed everything from the show, we would still be cheering for her because she needed to get out of there. I'm glad she got out of there.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like it's, yeah, I feel like she, I feel like there's probably actually more to the story, but
I want to know the more is what I'm saying.
And yeah, that's what you're saying. And so she said the next morning, she looked at him and said, you will never enter me again. And like, whoa, not enter. She goes, yeah, I said enter.
And Wendy does the clack, the fan clack thing. Where she's like, hold on now. So Monique's like, yeah. And I said, no looking back. And actually, you guys added years onto my marriage because I realized, like, you saved me so much time fighting with him because I was always fighting with you. And they all start laughing. That's like the most positive way to look at your time on Housewives.
So now going from Monique and her football man, we now go to Angel with her football man as they go and they look at a house. But I will say that it does seem like Bobby, I mean, I don't know. I actually never saw too many. I feel like I saw standard cracks with Monique and Chris, but it was like the typical Real Housewives stuff. It seems like Bob and Angel are in a good place. But I'm like, because part of me wants to be like, Angel, keep your eyes and ears open. This is one wag is giving you the warning signs right now. Keep, you know, but it seems like Bobby's okay. So they go looking at this.
Bobby's
house.
Hot as fuck, first of all.
Bobby's so hot.
And he seems nice. So yeah.
He's got.
And I trust a person who eats on camera. You know, he like fully ate on camera. Remember when he took his whole napkin and wiped his face like this?
He's also, did you see Bobby at BravoCon?
No.
So one thing that happened at BravoCon, as we may have mentioned, is that when we first got there, there was like a mix up with our passes and everything. And so we got sent down to the talent entrance, which is where all the Bravo celebrities were coming in and out of. And as we got there, Angel and Bobby came out of the door. And Bobby, I mean, look, maybe got distracted because we had just arrived. We literally had just arrived. But like, wow, Bobby.
I was busy calling the police. Saying, where the fuck are our passes? How dare you bring me to Las Vegas and then treat me like this?
Well, I have to say, I didn't even notice Angel because we were with our friend Erica. Erica Cobb, go check out our podcast. And so Erica knows Angel. In fact, I think Angel's on Erica's podcast this week. And so Erica, the only reason why I knew it was Angel is because Erica ran up to her and was like, oh my God, they hugged. And then I saw Bobby right behind her. But it just goes to show, like, it's hard to, I guess it's just like hard to get a grasp on Angel's face. It's just between the picture and in person and TV, sometimes
was it like morphing in a different filters?
I also didn't get I didn't
like
get
when
to
you
see a lot of
flick through the filters on the phone. It's like
I was like those kitty cat ears, but I also didn't get to see a lot of her because
wait a
Erica,
minute, Angel's smiling and then it's like and a big tongue comes out.
But also Erica hugged her, so because she hugged her, it obscured Angel's face. And then by that point, I was looking at Bobby. So
no, anyway, well, he's hot. So he's another hot, thing I'll say size. Is that this is very rare that they go look at a house on Housewives. It's actually a good house. They look at so many shitty, ugly houses on this show. It's almost as bad as House Hunters. This house was amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought this was beautiful.
It was actually so amazing. I was like, why doesn't Bravo do some sort of like House Hunters for their Bravo celebrities? You know, they should do that.
Well, that's a good idea. Off,
you know?
Yeah.
But then again, remember when they tried to have Reza do an interior design show and watch for half an hour? He's like, you could put a staircase here and like AstroTurf here and it would look beautiful. And then we watched a whole half an hour and the people just chose not to do anything at all. Like
what? I'm going to put like a lawn, but on your wall. Do you remember he planted grass on a wall? They were like, the wall is now crumbling and moldy. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming
Thank
over.
You.
It's so Persian.
That was also, I think, a Maryland-based episode.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Anyway, they look around this house. It's beautiful. I love how as soon as they get to the house, Bobby just runs to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that... Are you allowed to... use a bathroom in a house that you're looking at? Is that like,
yes?
Okay, I guess that's
when I was looking for houses. My sister kept toilet paper in her purse because they never have toilet paper in the houses, I guess to make you not use the bathroom, but she always had to go pee and she was always looking with me. So she brought, I've peed in many a toilet. How are you going to know you want to live there? You need to pee in the toilet, see how it flushes. And then you also need to turn on the shower and see how the water pressure is. Very important.
That's exactly why every house I looked at, I always took a shower.
Exactly. It's important to be naked in the living room, walk around and see if anybody sees you through the windows.
It's important to see if, you know, you could have, like, how will this house do with your family? That's why I always would invite my family over and we'd stay there for a week. You know, it was so hot. Was how like every room they went into, they had to like check to see if Bobby could clear the door frame. And like he kept on like it always, the door frame would always hit him in like at the forehead. And I was like, oh God, Bobby, so tall and so leggy.
Yeah.
I don't even have a leg thing, but when he sat down in that chair and like crossed his legs,
oh my God,
and those thighs, it was.
It was like watching a tree just bend over another tree. I was like, wow.
It was like two cellos just crossing each other. It was amazing. Too jealous.
So she's talking a lot. This is an angel scene, so I can't even believe we've talked this long. But yeah, she talks a lot, and I'm just like, oh. But the house was very pretty. And then she talks about how home hunting is difficult, but the last time they did this for like 4 years. So they've got time, and I would hate to be their realtor. So they check out the house. It's very nice. And then they sit down to gossip, which is why they're really there. She's like, you know, I wanted to talk about Wine and Weed Wednesdays, you know, because I could see my friends chilling out here. And he's like, okay, let's talk about your friends. So she's like, you know, let's talk about Giselle calling me a catfish. And then I just started booing.
I know. I couldn't believe it. Really? You're still on this? And she goes, you know, I felt a little bit blindsided. But like the other thing is, you know, Wendy, it was very unnecessary. Her just trying to say what she's saying to you is that you're a catfish. You know, I was just very disappointed in Wendy because she threw sauce on what Giselle was trying to say. I'm like, girl, you're only having this. Okay. You may or may not be, you know, right or wrong, but it's too late to be having this epiphany now. It's way too late, especially because you've confronted people about this like 4 times by now. Okay. You just cannot.
It's enough. And you can't be mad at the sauce that was put on it. It's like a vegetarian screaming at ketchup about a hamburger. You know, be mad at the beef. Be mad at the beef.
You provided the all beef patty. Okay. Like we all saw the photo. Okay. You just cannot keep digging in about, you cannot make yourself this big of a victim about the photo that you did to yourself.
Yeah, so now she's going to try a second war over it with Wendy because Wendy was agreeing with Giselle. So he's like, well, this is very unsettling, you know, and you have a right to feel that way, but just remember you're still friends. And at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. And is it really that serious? And I was like, Bobby's over it. Bobby's like, I've heard about this. You've talked about this in 6 houses that we've gone to look at.
He's like,
ma'am,
I would rather bonk my head on 12 more door jams than listen to this picture again about this picture again.
Okay, so now we go to an absolutely fucking god awful fashion show. It's one of the worst we've sat through in a while. And that is the G&A fashion show, otherwise known as Giselle and Ashley Going to Lunch.
Yes.
Who dresses you too? Jesus. And I'm not even a fashion gay, but even I'm like, good Lord.
And Ashley's in some sort of like, what was a green dress, like a weird, like ripple. It looked like kale. It sort of had the shape of a kale leaf at the bottom. And she comes and she's wearing heels that she's like not comfortable in. So she's like sort of teetering over. She's teetering in them like a weird Frankenstein thing. She comes like into the restaurant. So she sits down with Giselle. Actually,
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think Giselle's outfit that I'm talking about was the one she wore to the later event. It looked like she got toilet papered. She looked like she was playing a mummy or something where it was like a sheet going kind of tied over her boobs and then around the, I don't know. There's some crazy fashions on this show.
So Tia and Kierna join and Ashley's asking if they're recovered from the Pride Parade and Kierna is saying that Pride wore her down to the ground. What a surprise. Kierna got tired.
only Kierna. Kierna's review for Pride. I'm tired.
I was just tired. So Ashley's like, you guys can't hang. I was hanging out till 3 a.m. And Tia's like, oh, well, just meeting Grace the other day. I'm obsessed with her. What a wonderful child. Can I have her? Can you have my children, please? My children have parties with teenagers throwing up red stuff by the bedside. Give me Grace any day.
Well, she couldn't remember your name, so she wanted to call you English Muffin. She's like, ooh, she can. I would love that. English Muffin.
So Giselle's like, well, you know why? Saturday is where I let y'all know I'm a bad bitch with 10 million downloads.
Yeah, so they hit the 10 million download milestone on Reasonably Shady. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. She's saying how they've been nominated for an NAACP Image Award, and they're also one of Black Effect's top podcasts, and so they just want to celebrate. So, like, you know, that's awesome. Good, you know, congratulations. So Kierna's like, I have to say something. When I was leaving Friday, Cookie called me, and I'm like, hey, have you talked to Karen? Da 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 da. And she's like, what does da 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 mean? I'm like, oh no, the da 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 is actually not. It's you're supposed to it's like it insinuates that there's more to it. And then Cookie was like, why do you keep saying da 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 to me? Okay, get to the point, da.
Okay, well,
I'm tired. This story has made me tired.
Okay, you can do it. You can do it, Kierna. Finish the paragraph.
Anyway, so Kierna says that when she's talking to Cookie, Cookie was like, hold on, Chris Samuels is calling me on the other line. So Chris Samuels speaks to Cookie and tells Cookie that Monique was trash talking him. And so Cookie then relays this to Kierna, and Kierna's like, no, that did not happen. So then Cookie's like, well, why am I hearing that he had bad sex and treated her like a piece of meat? You know? And so apparently this is all 20 minutes of that scene we had just, you know, described of them having lunch after Pride. So it's a little confusing. So in summary, what it means is that they had lunch, and after lunch, 20 minutes later, Kay called Cookie, probably to be messy, but it turns out that Stacey beat her to the punch by calling Chris first, and then Chris called Cookie to be like, what the fuck? And now Cookie's telling Kay, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so she's like, Stacey did it. Stacey's the one who called Chris, you guys. And Tia's like, oh, no way. And wait a minute. So wait. Whoa, 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 whoa. And they're like literally in shock that Stacey would do this. I was shocked, too. I mean, damn, you call him immediately as you're leaving the place to be like, yeah, your ex-wife showed up and talked shit about you. That's not cool. But I still think Kay might have called Cookie and told her, and now they're going to pin it on Stacey. Although Stacey's so slippery, yeah. I have to be very careful with standing up for Stacey just because I like her on the show, because she probably did this.
Yeah, she probably did. I mean, she's caught in like a bald-faced lie in this episode. And like, Chris calling to say why was Monique saying that we had bad sex means that he did find out something. It could have been a producer, though. It could have been a producer.
But, it was probably Stacey.
Yeah,
it was probably Stacey. So Giselle's like, wait a minute. We had a sister moment with Monique, who I've had bodyguards against for 5 years. But I know. How could she interrupt our sisterhood? Nah. And then she calls Chris. And Giselle's like, and Tia points out, yeah, and he's picking up immediately. Like, what's going on here? And she's like, also, well, I don't. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, look, I'm Team Monique. With Monique and Chris, 100%. But realistically speaking, Stacey literally met Monique an hour beforehand, and she has a friendship with Chris Samuels. It's not the craziest thing that she calls up Chris Samuels and be like, yo, I just met your ex and she was saying this. Like, it's I understand you want to be loyal to your TV show, but like in the world of life, if you know someone, if you're like, that's her entry into this relationship is through Chris. It's not that crazy. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying it's not crazy, crazy, crazy that Stacey would call the person that she already knows and says, hey, I just met your wife. And just so you know, she's saying this about you.
Or that Chris knew that they were going to be shooting with Monique that day anyway, because he would probably, you know, it's like they have a shooting schedule, you know.
Yeah.
And he knew and called Stacey and was like, so what'd she say? It's like, oh, you know, she was just saying, you know, in your marriage, like they asked her when she realized when she was done. And she said when she had to put a do not enter sign on her vajayjay because you only used her for sex and she felt like a piece of.
Yeah.
Which still wouldn't be great. I mean, really, in any case, any way it happens, not great. It's not great.
It's not. It's like, if I were Stacey, I would not have done it, because it's like, yes, you don't know Monique, but like you're in this. Clearly, she's going to be on the show.
I'm sorry. It's called a sisterhood. Okay.
It's a sisterhood. This is a sisterhood. Yeah. It's a sisterhood. Surviving Monique. Monique is him.
Just to quote Married to Medicine. This is a sisterhood.
Oh, I was doing Heather Gay sisterhood.
No, I'm just bringing it all back.
But they should have a sisterhood off.
We are sisters, Quad. How could you do this to me year after year?
So Giselle's like, well, I don't care whether or not you're having sex with Chris. He shouldn't know anything of what we discussed. You're talking to me and I'm calling Michael Darby. I'm like, but it's like, I don't know. I'm surprised I'm actually defending Stacey on this, because at first I was like, oh, that's shady. But now now that I've sort of talked it out, I'm actually like, I just.
You've talked yourself out of being mad at Stacey.
Yeah, that's the best.
No, I think Stacey's in the wrong on this one. I have to say, I think Stacey's in the wrong. If this is true.
She should. I don't think she should have said it. I'm just saying that their level of outrage they keep on trying to make it seem like Stacey has violated, you know, girl code by even talking to Chris before she even knew Monique. And it's like, I don't think that's a violation of girl code. And I just think in this case, like I would not have done it. I think it's tacky and I think it's not smart, but like the fact that she did it is not as big of a girl code violation as they're making it out to be, because they're really, she doesn't have any relationship with Monique whatsoever. So I'm just saying like they're acting, you can't compare it to like your Giselle to her relationship with Michael Darby or to Ashley, because that's like a deep relationship that goes back many years.
Well, I will say,
I just want to defend Stacey because I love Stacey. Okay. Just let me,
I love Stacey. I can't defend her. If she did this, she's in the wrong. But I will say, if we're going to be talking about sisterhood and this and that, if Cookie is so in the sisterhood and she's like up, like she's like the best in the sisterhood and she's going to be the judge and the arbiter of everybody's sisterhood levels, then why would anybody be calling her for gossip in the first place? Why would the man's first call be to Cookie? Because he knows she's going to talk shit and spill the tea. So if we're having a sisterhood off, I don't think Cookie's going to win this one because the man is calling her first to find out information.
And Cookie called Kierna, by the way. I think I said that Kierna called Cookie, but Kierna said that Cookie called her. So Cookie's calling to get dirt as well. I mean, look, Stacey should not have done it. I'm just saying. They're gonna nail her to the cross. I'm not sure this is a cross nailing. I think this is a, like, Stacey, that was wrong moment.
Yeah, but it's all adding up. You know, it's like in our Dwell Hello this week. It all adds up. It's all starting to add up with Stacey, where it's like one thing and then another thing. And some of the things I think are, you know, not even real, but it's just in their evidence packet. It just keeps adding up against Stacey, you know? So this was not a good move on her part. Like, if you know all these girls are coming for you and trying to get something on you all season, you've already got the thing that you kind of lied about, the weed thing. And then, you know, then you name your weed a Nigerian name. And then, you know, it's just all starting to add up against Stacey.
But why is it that every time something adds up against Stacey, it makes me like her more? I just find it so entertaining when she does these things. Like, if she called up Chris, it's not right. But like, to quote Whitney, it's not right, but it's okay. Because it, like, I don't know, it amuses me so much.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, well, I don't care whether or not you're having sex with Chris, but he shouldn't know anything of what we discussed. Well, you only don't care that she's having sex with Chris now because you have cared about it for the past 3 or 4 weeks that you've been trying to make it a storyline. And so now she's got another thing. So now they're saying Cookie's going to be at the GNA party. And so Ashley's like, oh, Cookie wants to sing like a canary, baby.
She does. Cookie is ready. And actually, I honestly would like Cookie just to sing just in general. I feel like she probably has a very good voice. She probably has a nice, like, sort of smoky voice. I think she'd be a lovely singer.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
K
can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
We're obsessed all with Tessa V.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.